White Zombie, Horror of Dracula, This Island Earth, Frankenstein Meets Wolfman, House of Usher, The Thing, Teenage Frankenstein Meets Teenage Wolfman, Walking Dead, House on Haunted Hill, The Phantom of the Opera. Good evening.
Hello, welcome to the Little Monsters Movie Podcast, episode 4. I am Dino.
And I am Ted. Good evening, my children of the night.
Yes, yes.
How appropriate that the song mentions Horror of Dracula, and that's what we'll be talking about today.
There you go. Yeah, we'll be talking Hammer horror. In particular, The Horror of Dracula and Brides of Dracula.
Yeah, the first two.
And I'm sure we'll be talking more than that, I'm sure.
Yeah, Hammer's definitely one of my favorites. I love my Universal monsters, but I don't know, I think I just saw Hammer at a young age, and it kind of affected me. For anybody who's listening to us that doesn't follow Hammer horror movies, they were a British studio that started actually as early as the 1930s and produced a lot of films, all kinds of movies, comedies, war movies, horror movies, of course, noir films. And in the early 1950s, they started getting into horror and science fiction with the Quatermass movies. And from there, they were looking to expand, and Universal's kind of done with their series of monster movies by that time. So they jumped on to Frankenstein first, and then they did a couple Frankenstein movies, and then they also did Dracula, which is what we're going to talk about today, since we're big vampire fans.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I've been a huge fan. I've known you for about 20 years, and I kept telling you, you gotta watch Hammer movies, because you had never really watched them, so
yep.
Now we finally did it. So, I think we'll talk about Horror of Dracula first.
And I still do prefer the Universal black and white movies, but
a lot of people do.
I do. See, I mean, it's Hammer horror is different. I mean, of course, and it's most likely because of the era it was made in.
I think I just see them. I mean, I remember seeing these on Superhost. I love Superhost.
Yeah.
I mention them every show. But, you know, I was probably about 5, and I remember seeing this, and maybe it's just like the Technicolor blood. And,
yeah.
You know, if we ever get to, like, Curse of Frankenstein, if we ever decide to, like, maybe watch those and compare them to other Frankenstein movies, there's just, for a 1957, 58 film, the amount of gore that was in that was considerable, with the face of Frankenstein and you know, seeing brains and eyeballs and blood. And being 5 years old, that was just enough, I think. Like, just enough gore to really affect me. And so anytime these movies were on, I always watched them. They're, you know, I think we can both say that they're definitely, they're paced, they're moody, gothic. Yes.
Definitely gothic, yeah.
You know, to me, a little bit more elegant in a way.
Oh, elegant. Speaking of that, I was going to bring this up. Do you notice in these Hammer movies how clean everything? This is the Dracula's castle.
Yes.
And every single piece of furniture, wall hanging, everything is just spotless. There's not dust, cobwebs. Anywhere,
and that's some of the differences,
which is cool. It's very theatrical, kind of like the scenes.
But you're right, and cool. I think in a way with Universal, when Harker goes into Dracula's castle first, I prefer that. That certainly sets a mood and a tone,
right?
And I mean, quite frankly, that, to me, that's the best part of the movie. The beginning there, when he goes into the castle, that whole part, that's the movie. That makes the movie so memorable, from the opening scene to, you know, after that. I mean, it's still a great movie after.
Right.
But you are right. I never really, like, thought about that. But you're right. Thinking about the first scenes now, it's clean as a whistle.
Yeah, well, you're going to
notice that. The silver's polished and everything.
Yeah, nice candlestick, everything. Yeah, but, yeah, and Harker comes, too, right away just to kill him.
Right,
his mission is to take and stake Dracula.
It's a little bit different than, I think, the book and the previous Universal movie, in that he shows up not to sell him property, mm-hmm. but to be a librarian and organize his vast library.
Yeah.
And as he's writing in his journal, he says, you know, he's going to kill Dracula. And then we find out later that he's a friend of Dr. Van Helsing, and they were working together to rid the world of Dracula.
Yes.
So that's kind of how this starts.
Peter Cushing is, Van Helsing is... I mean, Peter Cushing's just great.
I'm glad you like him, because he's one of my favorites.
Oh, I love him, too. I love him in Abominable...
Abominable Snowman?
Yeah.
That's a Hammer movie,
the
right?
Hammer movie, right, yeah.
I haven't seen that for ages, though. That was a great movie. We'll get to that one.
Yeah.
So, Harker, he goes, you know, he's Dracula's nowhere to be seen, leaves him a note, tells him go ahead and eat, and he meets this female vampire, one of... What we later learn is one of Dracula's brides. She plays the part to try to get rescued. All she's wanting to do is take the chomp out of him, though. And once Dracula finds her about to take a bite, you know, he pops and he's already got blood dripping down his mouth, that Technicolor blood that I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. And the scream, like, mm-hmm. towards the...
Exactly. And if you think about it, except for hisses and snarls, mm-hmm. the only person he actually speaks dialogue to is Harker. He never speaks any dialogue to anybody else.
And yeah, he's kind of, after the whole Harker interaction, mm-hmm. he's kind of behind the scenes and just creeping. And
yeah, he doesn't really play a lot of vampire films today, they want to play him as smooth and sensual right. and everything. And I kind of prefer my vampires just being monsters.
Right.
You know, maybe with the exception of Barnabas, who we've mentioned before. But
Dark Shadows.
Yeah. But, that's what Christopher Lee plays, and that's how he plays. I mean, in the next one that he did, Prince of Darkness, mm-hmm. He doesn't have any dialogue at all. Supposedly because he hated the dialogue. But he doesn't speak a word, but his presence just speaks volumes.
But do you like when he comes down the steps, too, and his cape is just enormous?
Flowing.
Yes.
It's cool.
It's a pretty big cape, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, do you have any other thoughts, like... Obviously, we've determined you prefer Universal, and I totally get that. I think for me, it's just the age I was when I saw these. But
right,
would you pursue any other Hammer movies? You think? Or
yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I know you've recommended even the Frankenstein one is a pretty good one.
That cycle's probably my favorite.
Yeah,
because
I've seen bits and pieces of that, and that's mm-hmm. seemed. Really, really good from what I've watched.
Those are, and actually, I like them all. That's a series where,
right? Not that I don't like this. I mean, mm-hmm. this is good too. It's just, it's different.
It is, and maybe for I watched it with my daughter. She's five. You know, she covered her eyes a few times.
I actually just watched it with my daughter too, and the whole stake in the heart thing mm-hmm. with the red blood. It said, "Oh, I'm not scared."
Oh, well, good.
So, I mean, it was all good.
She covered her eyes a little bit during the blood scenes, and that's okay. You know, it's just
there's a scene though. I got to bring it up real quick.
Oh,
I don't know
when
Dracula takes Harker right up to his room.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me why. If it's how they were filming it or what, but you notice their breaths.
Yeah, you can see the breath.
So either they didn't have the heat going right at that scene, because mm-hmm. later scenes that you don't see that. In that room.
You're right.
But I noticed...
I remember that part.
That, so it's like... It's just a stupid observation.
Either
but,
they had these guys smoking before they went in to make it look like they had breath, or it was actually cold in there.
Yeah.
I know they filmed this in a studio. I can't imagine it was that cold, but maybe they wanted to give the illusion that it was cold.
Maybe, but it was so... I mean, who would pick up on that? I don't know. But I picked up on mm-hmm. that for some reason.
That's right. I do yeah. remember. And it's just that one part when he first takes him to his chambers.
Yeah. Anyways, I had to bring that up. That was kind of...
No, little details. Little details. But these are definitely more paced... I can't see younger kids mostly getting into these.
Right.
I don't know what it was, if it's a generational thing or whatever, but when I saw these, they were it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like I said, that Technicolor blood, seeing Curse of Frankenstein with the monster makeup, which was far more frightening than Boris Karloff. Not that Boris Karloff's performance wasn't sublime, but it was better than Christopher Lee's, but just the makeup effects.
Right,
much more frightening to me.
Yeah, because I mean, the Dracula in this movie too is not a very strong vampire.
No,
I mean,
mere mortal men can take him out and give him a few dukes.
Yeah, punch him in the face and he'll go flying away. You know, it's like, okay, And one of the weaker versions of Dracula.
Yeah, he can't really, you know, it's not like he has superhuman strength or anything.
But that's what makes this movie a little bit different than the others. So, right. You know.
And so as we follow Jonathan Harker, once he figures out how to get out of his room, because he got locked in at first, once, you know, like he wakes up in the morning, the room unlocks it. He's really on a mission to find Dracula's resting place and to officially put an end to him. Ends up coming across that female vampire again, and then that's what we were just talking about, where Dracula comes down there and you know, pushes her away, and you know, but it's getting close to sunrise, and they both have to get to their coffins. And I always find that kind of funny that, you know, they know someone's there and could stake them, but they have to get back to the coffin, and they'll just lay there, and they're completely helpless when they're in there. And he knows he's coming for him, but... Yeah. So he does.
You would think that they would have some kind of like you know, padlock it or something.
Well, you know, some of them had guardians, you know, to look after him, like right. Like in you know, the original Dracula, he had you know, Harker was, you know, he drove him insane, and in other versions, the Renfield character was already kind of like in the 92 version with Gary Oldman, you know, Renfield was already, like, even though he was locked up, he was his servant.
Exactly.
So, you know, in some classic tales, they do have a guardian that watches out for them. I mean, that's, when we get to Brides of Dracula, that's certainly what happens.
Yeah.
So,
a little different take. Yeah.
But, I don't know, you have any other thoughts about it?
No, just that, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I mean, I enjoyed it. It was okay. Different.
I mean, through the 50s and 60s, Hammer pretty much was, you know, the be-all, end-all when it came to horror movies. You know, the States were putting out, you know, the stuff in the 50s was, you know, the science fiction-y
right.
kind of horror
Hammer
films.
Took up the horror
movie. Yeah, they took up the classic monsters. Not that we, American studios didn't put any out. Hammer made a lot of money. They had a lot of lucrative deals with our studios here, like Columbia and Warner Brothers, to distribute the movies. And up until maybe... You know, the mid-70s when horror movies started getting a little bit more edgier in our country. You know, you had your Rosemary's Babies and your Texas Chainsaws.
Right, yeah.
You know, Hammer couldn't really compete, so that's when they started putting a little bit more boobage.
and, a little more skin.
Yeah, going the more sensual route with some of their later films.
Yeah.
Like the Karnstein Vampire Trilogy, which... it's a loose trilogy. Three movies with the same kind of family name. I like all three of them. I think they're all excellent. I would recommend them. Vampire Lovers, Lust for a Vampire, and Twins of Evil. All three of them are actually really good. Two of them have Peter Cushing in them. They're fantastic. But yeah, they do have a little bit more skin in them than previous Hammer movies. And then by the 80s, they were pretty much
they
done.
They always result to... Yeah, that's in some naked women.
Well, and that was one thing that Hammer actually got known for was, you know, their beautiful actresses that they would have in the films.
Yeah.
You know, there was even a book not too long ago, Hammer Glamour, with all the girls. I mean, they had Raquel Welch. They had plenty of Carolyn Monroe.
Was Raquel Welch in a Hammer movie?
1 Million Years B.C.
Oh, that was a Hammer movie.
Was a Hammer movie. Yep. With Ray Harryhausen effects.
Exactly. Yeah, yep. That was a good movie.
Which we still haven't even gotten uncut. In England, they have it uncut on video, but we've never had the uncut version released here officially in the States. So, by the 80s, you know, they did, like, the Hammer House of Horror TV show, and by the 80s, they were pretty much done. But they're back up and running now. They've been putting films out. You probably saw Let Me In, the remake of Let the Right One In.
That was an excellent
movie.
Yeah,
so that was Hammer. They're back up. I didn't see it, but the one that had Daniel Radcliffe from Harry Potter, what is it?
The Woman in Black?
Yeah, that's a Hammer movie.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think they're making a sequel of it now.
Right. If it's not out yet, I think it might.
Maybe it is. I haven't followed the more recent, but you know, they've even gotten Christopher Lee back in one of the films, The Resident, which I didn't see, but I know he was in it. So, you know, yeah, he's coming right back to it. So, I really wish that they would.
He's got to be 90. I mean, he's up there.
I love Christopher Lee. You know, he does heavy metal records.
No way.
You can look him up on YouTube or whatever. He releases heavy metal music. He plays with bands, and his voice is not... You know,
how old is he?
It's
got to be 80s, right?
He's up there. If he's, if he's not in his 90s, I don't know. I mean, he might be in his late 80s.
And he's
or
doing
something.
Some heavy metal music.
Yes. Yeah, it's like Charlemagne, you know, like concept albums about Charlemagne. And,
well, I'm going to have to check that out. Holy Moses.
It's good for novelty. I love you, Christopher. No, right. I love you, man. He keeps busy. Yeah,
hey,
he doesn't sit still.
I just want to listen to it to hear a 90-year-old man crank out some.
He's got
metal.
A big voice. I mean, you know, he's just got that voice. He's got that big voice. So I guess getting back to our movie, unfortunately, Jonathan ends up getting bit.
Yeah.
You know, when he attempts to destroy Dracula and his one bride that we see there.
And I'll bring up how great the makeup work is on the.
More than just two dots, and you actually get to see some blood, I guess. You know, which like in the original Dracula, you didn't. You know,
it was bright red.
You know,
yeah.
And that's maybe just what gets your attention. You know, anytime Christopher Lee comes out, he's got the blood dripping from his mouth. You know, he can't eat. You know, he can't feed. You know, without making a mess. And you know, so Harker
needs his bib.
So Harker gets bit, and he realizes what he's going to become. So he's writing his last, you know, thoughts in the journal, and he ends up stowing the journal away somewhere, hiding it, and
outside the castle.
Yes.
Yeah.
So and that's pretty much the end of him, as you'll see if you watch the film. I mean, he does destroy the bride before he changes, but then shortly after that. Peter Cushing comes on the scene, and Dr. Van Helsing trying to retrace his friend's footsteps and find out what happened to him.
He plays it awesome.
He's a suave actor. I really like him.
Yes.
You don't see a whole lot of range and emotion and stuff, but he played them well. And you know, he was a veteran of these films. This film was directed by Terrence Fisher. He did a lot of the classic Hammer movies, the ones that you would want in your collection.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you've got a combination of Terrence Fisher, Peter Cushing, or Christopher Lee, any of those three in a movie, it's a good movie. It's worth watching.
Yeah.
So, Terrence Fisher directed this one, and he did Brides of Dracula, Prince of Darkness, all the classics.
Yeah, I do love how his... coffin has the dirt,
right? That's something.
And the pillow.
You gotta be comfortable. You might be dirty, but you have to be comfortable.
Yeah, and it was a nice blue, you know, pillowcase. So
I don't know if I had seen. No, I think that may have been depicted in resting in actual dirt. I don't know if that was in the old Nosferatu or not, but it was definitely. I'm pretty sure in the remake.
Yeah.
That they did in the 70s, the Werner Herzog one, which I really like too.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back now which ones actually used the dirt.
And then the 92 one, of course.
Yeah,
yeah, he was in the case with the dirt there. Yeah. So that's a nice touch, you know, because this movie sort of sets up the rules of, you know every movie franchise of the vampires has their rules.
Yeah.
And you have to live within those rules. So, you know, we find out that, they're repelled by garlic and crucifixes and holy water, you know, sunlight. They have to sleep in a coffin, you know, in their own soil. So it sets that up. But one thing I do want to make point of is that Peter Cushing does state that it's a myth that vampires can't change into bats. But in later Hammer movies, in Brides of Dracula, for instance, you know, the vampire guy turns into a bat.
Yeah.
So they broke their own rules there.
Why not?
And see, I watched them both to prepare for the show. I watched them both in a row, so I'm like, "What? You know, if you don't watch them months apart, you don't remember that."
Yeah.
And so now I remember.
That's funny.
So as we go along with the story, Peter Cushing's looking for Harker. He stops at an inn, and
wants a meal.
Yep. Yep.
He needs
Is it possible to get a meal? You know, he's got his brandy that looks like high C, and.
And of course, everybody's just staring at him. Like,
right. As soon as somebody new comes in, as soon as someone strange comes in the inn, they all just drop silent. And
you wonder how they make a living. I mean,
they're all in there drinking.
Yeah, it's like a family, actually, of six people in all these movies like this. sitting in the little inn, you know, drinking and just talking.
I think there's an inn in every single Hammer movie like this.
Yeah,
like this
and what, a stranger comes by every 6 months and yeah. knocks on the door. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, how you make your money?
He notices all the garlic hanging up, and he's not stupid. He knows what's going on. He knows what's... They don't know he knows. They figure everyone else in the world would think this is just a big superstition. This is their problem.
Yeah.
And which, again, I don't think this even takes place in Transylvania, does it? I don't... They always name their places after other places.
Right.
You know, I don't know if this specifically was Transylvania that it took place in.
I'm trying to think. I'm not sure.
You know, they always have, like, Karl Stein and things like that. So.
Yeah.
he assures the owner of the inn that, you know, I do know what's terrorizing you here, and maybe I can help. The daughter, kind of on the sly, gives him the journal that she just happened to find.
So, Parker's journal,
She
would have it.
So he knows what happened to him, and of course he knows where the castle is. And I like when he gets up to the castle, the carriage is just tearing out of the out of there, and there's a coffin on there. And we later learn that's Dracula's coffin being taken to England. And again, this kind of ties into a lot of the other Dracula movies, which I don't think is how... I'm going to admit, guys, I have never completely read Bram Stoker's Dracula all the way through. I will.
Right.
I remember starting it one time, like when I was in college, and I just never finished it. Not because I didn't like it, just I just never finished it.
Right. And, Plenty of books to start and just never get back.
That's why I like having a Nook, because I just have everything in there, and it's so much easier.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Yep.
But, you know, he sees the picture when Jonathan's unpacking, and this one doesn't make any kind of references to, like, a long-lost love or anything like that. I think, you know, it almost seems kind of silly for him to go all the way out to... You know, where Jonathan's from, just, you know, to get at this one woman here. But, just, you know, for the purposes of the story, though, Dracula is being taken cross country to Jonathan's home country, and where his fiance, which in this story is not Mina like it is in many of the others, this is Lucy.
Yeah,
Lucy. And,
and she's laying in her sick in bed.
Right, she's already been bit. He's already there, and by the time Peter Cushing gets there to tell Jonathan's, I think it's his brother? Was it his brother? I don't think it was his parents. I think it was his brother.
Yeah, not sure.
What happened to him?
But I know she's laying in the bed. She looks like the old Wendy's girl with the red pigtails coming down the side. So, very...
Now, Harker's brother there in the film, when with his wife there, that's played by Michael Gow. Did you recognize him?
No.
He was Alfred in the Michael Keaton Batman movies.
No way.
Yeah,
okay.
That's him. Yeah. And he's also a big Hammer alumni. He's in several of them. Yeah.
Look at his face
next time. Yep. You can get a good look at him. That's Alfred. Yeah. I mean, apart from Hammer movies and that, I never saw him in anything else.
Right.
But yep, that's Alfred.
Okay.
So, yeah. Dracula's already visited Lucy and has drank from her. You know, doctors are seeing her. They don't know why she's so weak. No one ever thinks to look at the neck.
Yeah, and, like this, like that can't be causing it. You know.
Or if they do, they think it's an animal. And when they finally ask for Dr. Van Helsing's advice, the first thing he does, takes a look right there. Uh-huh. All right,
well,
got this figured out.
Because he knows what's going on, yeah.
Right, and I always find it interesting that, you know, it's always, you know, the women in these films, they're like repelled and attracted at the same time. That goes so much into the, you know, the old mythology of the vampire.
Right.
You know, it's supposed to be a very pleasurable experience having your blood sucked and drained. I'll pass.
Yeah.
But, you know, even though she's wearing the crucifix, she opens up the doors and she's just ready. You know, he's going to come on in there.
Yep. Well, she's a beautiful lady. He wants to...
Hammer
he needs
always
his bride.
Had beautiful ladies. They always had beautiful ladies. She puts the cross away. And then, yeah, I think just because, you know, none of the other doctors are doing anything for her, and she's getting weaker and weaker and weaker, and this is what we see in the classic story, the filmed versions. Peter Cushing...
lays back and...
Right, his advice is to, you know, to the garlic plants all over the place.
Yeah.
And...
later in the movie, the Van Helsing has them put all the garlic plants around in front of the windows,
keeping the doors closed.
Bed.
And, you know, I mean, he does. I don't think he really comes right out and tells them what it is. He just says, if you do these things, she'll live. If you don't, she will die.
Right. Which is a mistake, but, you know.
He doesn't tell them why.
Although, would they believe him?
Right. You know. In the meantime, you know, and even when he tells them about Jonathan Harker's death, he doesn't get into the details of it. He says, you know, I can't tell you anything more than that. Yeah. He's really keeping that close to the chest. He hasn't gone through the diary yet. But once he realizes everything that's going on, and then he gets involved in Lucy's medical case, it ends up being for naught, because the maid, whatever.
Right, the maid, you know, comes in. And
she takes the plants away because, you know, because she wants, you know, Dracula to come and
well, yeah,
and
she begged her, saying to her, you know.
They're stifling.
Yeah, I can't so stand
takes
it.
Takes
no
them
more.
All away. Sure enough, she opens the window wide open.
Yep.
And sure enough.
He comes Dracula and takes her away.
And this is it. I mean, he yeah.
Picked her up like a rag doll.
Yeah. And when Peter Cushing returns, you know, he, you know, asks, you know, were my instructions followed? And everybody says yes, and look what happens. And then the maid comes in and admits to what she did.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. I didn't do this.
It's her fault. The girl's dead because of her. They don't even fire her. And then at
well,
that
she
point,
bends to her every will. You know,
yeah.
It's, yeah. You know.
And then it's at that point when Peter Cushing starts letting them in on what's actually going on. About vampires and getting into the whole, you know, we have to destroy him kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Harker's brothers definitely, you know, he's not really believing it at first, you know, and in the face of reality, who could believe it?
Exactly.
But then
the little girl,
what's her name, Gerda or something, she's brought back in, and, you know, tearfully, she's brought in by the police. She was found out walking outside, yes, in the dark, and
where were you? I was following.
Lucy. Yeah, yeah. She saw Lucy and wanted to take her for a walk and go play, and that's when they realize, you know, that she is now the undead.
You wonder why Lucy didn't take her right then and there, though, because later in the movie, mm-hmm, she does take her to actually whatever she was going to do.
Well,
I mean. Not sure what the intentions were there.
Maybe she ran away. I don't know. But you know, the whole thing is to set it up for the two male heroes in the movie to go and to put her to rest in her tomb, in her crypt. And forgive me, I can't remember what Jonathan Harker, I think it's his brother in the film. I can't remember what character he played. But forgive me, I can't remember the name for the people listening. But, you know, once he realizes, you know, what you have to do to put her soul at rest, I mean, he's horrified. But yeah, as we all know, if you don't drive the stake through the heart, you know, you don't, their soul is not at peace. And they are just, as they say in the movie, she's just a shell. She's not your sister. She's just a shell.
Exactly.
And I'm sorry, this is not Harker's brother that we're talking about. This is his fiance Lucy's brother. That's
what
this is.
Okay. Right.
I've misspoken, people. Forgive me.
Yeah. No biggie.
but and I also like when she's wandering out in the woods prior to being staked, and comes across little Gerda Peter Cushing drives her away with the cross and puts it on her forehead
burns it right.
And again, that's, you know, that's 1950s. That's, you know, a little bit of something that people weren't used to seeing in films. The drive, you know, actually showing the stake going in and the blood pooling up from the chest,
mm-hmm,
blood on the hands.
Yeah, it was actually the beginning of all that kind of.
It's tame. It's tame by today's standards. And I totally understand that for people who are used to different kinds of horror movies.
Yeah.
But, like I said, these are just from a different time. These pave the way for a lot of, you know, pushing some of the boundaries of the gore that you were able to say. I use the word gore lightly, I guess.
Yeah.
But,
Blood and, mm-hmm, staking. And,
yeah, there just clearly wasn't as much of that. So,
gotta say, after she was staked, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know how they're supposed to revert back to, She's got her lipsticks on beautifully. I know, and she the makeup good. And the
and then going back to when Harker staked the bride of Dracula, how she turned into a really old woman.
Yeah.
And which was really neat. You know what probably the coolest effect is? Just a little aside. Have you ever watched the subspecies vampire films? Do you know of them?
No. From
Full Moon Features?
I've heard of them, yeah.
They're not bad. What I do like about them is that they use, like, at least in the first one, real Romanian ruins and castles, and it's got that cool look. But one of the movies that ties into it, it's called Vampire Journals. What I always like is when the vampires sleep, when they go to sleep, like, during the day, they decay, and they look like a rotted corpse. And then when it's time to wake up, they revert back and form. Like, it's a little computer morphing effect where they turn back into, which I thought was a neat thing to do. Just a little aside, I don't know, that scene with the Bride of Dracula kind of reminded me of it.
What year were those?
Those are probably in the 90s.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Full Moon, you probably remember like the Puppet Master movies and stuff, all from the same studio.
Jeez, I love, yeah.
We could do a show on Puppet Master movies.
Yes, we should.
At least like the first three. The first three are the best. After that, they kind of went downhill. Maybe we do a show on the first three.
What the heck, how many more did they make of them? I mean,
they've made like 11 of them. 10 or 11 of them.
Was there really that many?
I'm not kidding, yes.
Oh, jeez.
They just put one out like last year. They go, like, straight to video. Well, they've all been straight to video, except for, I think, the first one.
So, yeah, they're just... Because I love the first Puppet Master movies.
The first three are fantastic. We'll do a show on that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah. And then maybe we'll touch on some of the subspecies ones, because I kind of liked those. But they've got their fans. But getting back to our film here, so they've put Lucy at rest. Dracula's still on the run. They still haven't figured out where he's resting. So they're going to have to kind of figure things out. And they figure since Dracula was brought by coach, they had to cross a border. And then they guess at the way station or whatever there, they have to declare where, you know, items are being taken, the destination.
Yeah.
And they get the idea that maybe they can figure out where he's at by looking at those records.
Mm-hmm.
So
they coax the... whoever the guy is.
Then, yeah, they have to bribe him because he doesn't want to give him the information. That's a good
thing. I can't do that.
Yeah.
Money
he's sitting there with his big COPD smoker's cough and he's puffing on his pipe. And in the meantime, and again, I'm so sorry that I don't remember his name, but he leaves his wife unattended.
Of course.
And, you know, he gives her the crucifix and says, you know, we'll be back as soon as we can. Mm-hmm. And me and Van Helsing have to go and look this, try to find out about the location of Dracula's coffin.
Right.
So they kind of narrow it down a little bit. It's Arthur Holmwood. Arthur Holmwood. No. Thank you. I just had to look it up on my phone real quick, folks. I'm getting tired of saying so-and-so's brother.
Arthur,
so, Dr. Van Helsing and Arthur start to figure out where he's at. It ends up being a funeral parlor.
Right? Where all the other... Yep.
Mm-hmm. And when they get there, the coffin is gone.
Yeah.
It's been moved.
They don't know where, but...
And, so they get back home. Holmwood sees his wife. And they... she's just acting a little funny. All right? And come to find that Dracula has
bitten her too.
Bitten her and is going to make her one of his brides. Right. And
they stand guard outside of the home.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, you know, blocking both window areas or whatever, entrances, but...
And they can't figure out how he still got in to bite her. And,
yep.
She ends up needing a blood transfusion, and you see, like, an old school, Van Helsing doing
that
the old
school. That was
actually
a very cool scene.
Yeah. They didn't know much about blood typing, though. I wonder how many...
Well,
you know, now we know so much more about it. I mean, it always works great in the movies, but you think, what if they didn't have the same blood type? They, you know, they were, you know...
Yeah, they don't just want to show the other person croak there. Bad blood.
You know, you're putting type B into type O, and...
why isn't this working?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know, like, if back then if they understood, like, if they knew everything about blood types yet. You know, doctors can do, like, a little scratch test there and find out.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they just don't show that. So I don't know enough to know if they knew anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she's had her blood transfusions, feeling a little better. They're guarding the doors. She goes out there, and lo and behold, right there in the parlor, there's Dracula waiting.
Yeah, I would be very pissed if I gave her all that blood. And she ends up just, you know...
You just gave it to him?
Yeah.
I'm
weak because of nothing.
Right. And they go in the house, and through a course of events, the maid, again, ends up spilling the beans that she instructed nobody. I think they ask her to go down and get some wine. I asked her to go down to the cellar and get another bottle of wine. This is...
That darn man.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think I may have spoke things a little bit out of order. Dracula's there in the parlor. He feeds on Ms. Holmwood. And then the blood transfusion happens.
Yeah.
And Arthur Holmwood's drinking some wine after giving the blood to kind of rebuild his blood back up.
Yeah.
And Van Helsing comes in after he cleans up from the transfusion and checks on Ms. Holmwood. And... realizes, or he offers him some wine. Says, you could probably use some wine too. And he asks the maid to go down to the cellar to get the wine, mm-hmm. and she doesn't want to go down there because the missus told her not to go in the cellar. When the light bulb comes up.
Yeah,
and they go down into the cellar, and there is Dracula's coffin.
Oh, yep.
Which I mean, you go to realize after all this time doing all this, and there it was.
Yeah, I'd be pissed about that. Yeah.
And then it turns into a chase. They're not able to stop Dracula there in the Holmwood residence. He takes...
Like how he plows right through the... what do you call it? The stop?
The gate.
Yeah, the gate.
When they're
right.
And then he
plows right through it.
But then I love the guy. He tapes it up he ropes it up. And then there it comes again. They smash right through it. In the chase, Dracula takes Ms. Holmwood back to his castle. And Arthur and Dr. Van Helsing are in hot pursuit. And I love when they get there, Dracula's about to just bury her, just no coffin, nothing, just right in the dirt.
Yeah, just throw her right in.
Yeah, he throws her right in a hole.
She'll be all right in the morning. I mean, the evening.
And then probably what comes my favorite part of the film is the climax between Van Helsing and Dracula. Mm-hmm. Van Helsing's chasing Dracula through the castle.
Of course, them being all out there in the muddy dirt and all that, so they didn't track any of that into the
You're ruining it for me. They're ruining it for me.
I'm just saying.
And they end up into the library area where Dracula's trying to sneak through a trap door, but Van Helsing stops him. And here's where what you're talking about, where a mere mortal man is able to fight Dracula.
Right.
But I gotta say, the way that Van Helsing disposes of Dracula in this film is really cool. I really like how...
The scene. Yeah, mm-hmm. The very climax of the scene.
Right, because the sun's coming up.
Yes.
You know, Dracula is... he's getting ready to take a chomp out of Van Helsing. He pushes him off. And then we get to the real, great scene. They're kind of chasing each other around the big, large library table. And Van Helsing takes the two candlesticks and makes a cross out of it.
Right.
And to drive him back. He pulls the curtains down to let the sunlight in and uses the candlestick cross to, drive him into the sunlight.
And he just watches him run over to those drapes, too.
Yeah,
Dracula would be like, boom! You know what I mean? But it is a very cool scene where his body starts, turning into ash. Yeah, rapidly.
What some people may not know, and I know we have some listeners in England, and they're the lucky ones, here in the States, we don't have the uncut version of this scene. In Japan, not too long ago, a print was found that it's really just seconds. You can Google it on YouTube. You can watch the parts. But this part here is a little bit more gory. It's just seconds. Okay. The part where he's kind of scratching his face, you see a little bit of the flesh coming away. And,
oh, really? Okay.
And a print was found of that, and they've struck it onto a Blu-ray, and it is available in the UK. We just it's not even on Blu-ray here in the States, so we don't have it yet. From what I hear, Warner Brothers is going to start putting something out soon. I really hope, if anybody from Warner Brothers listens to this, please, for the love of God, I'll buy them.
The horror fans want to see that.
Yeah, and I got to imagine those things sell nowadays, well. Genre titles sell well. Horror, science fiction, mm-hmm. those things sell pretty well. So Dracula disintegrates... turns to dust, and you think he's gone. We'll find out later in Dracula, Prince of Darkness, he is not. There is continuity there.
Mm-hmm.
it starts off with, like, they take his ashes and his cloak, and they just pour someone's blood all over it, and Dracula reconstitutes. So, and that's one of the things I like about...
And that's, what's the second...
The second film in the series is The Brides of Dracula, which we'll talk about next. Okay. But the third film in the series is where Christopher Lee came back. It was made about 6 years later, like in 1965,
okay.
called Dracula, Prince of Darkness. And from there you have Dracula's Risen from the Grave, Taste the Blood of Dracula, Scars of Dracula. Those are all the ones that are kind of like period movies.
Okay.
You know, and I kind of like that. I like the Victorian kind of sets. And
yeah, I do,
you
gotta I do love like that the sets. Too. No.
They the have sets a good very... texture. And they did reuse them from movie to movie. If you watch enough of the Hammer movies... or if you're unlucky to watch a couple in a row,
They had a strict budget.
Exactly.
You know, they had to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm. And but they always use them in creative ways. It's not like, you know, it's the exact same city in another movie.
Right.
You know, sometimes they might use like you know, another part for a totally different type of scene.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the things I really like. And after Scars of Dracula, Scars of Dracula doesn't exactly follow the continuity. That's kind of like. After Taste the Blood of Dracula, the continuity kind of ends.
Okay.
But you have Scars of Dracula, which is a decent flick.
Is that when they start adding babes in it?
Yeah.
A little bit.
One. That one's definitely a little bit more violent.
Okay.
I mean, Scars of Dracula is the first one where you see, like, Dracula, like, crawling on the side of the castle, which I think is in the book.
But those, you don't think those were as good as the two we're, like, talking about right now, or,
I suppose in some ways up through Taste the Blood of Dracula and Scars of Dracula, I really like them all.
Okay.
After Scars of Dracula, it's Dracula AD 1972, Dracula's in, 1970s swinging London, and you know, he's raised from the dead by a guy who's into satanic occults, and then finally the Bane.
Yeah, that's the whole occult area,
right?
Or era.
The last one is called The Satanic Rites of Dracula, where Dracula is kind of like a businessman, and he's plotting to take over the world. And it's actually, Peter Cushing's in it as well, but he plays a descendant of the original Dr. Van Helsing.
Okay.
You know, Christopher Lee was notorious for saying it was horrible, and he only did it because, you know, he was kind of like, felt like he had to, but he did no more Dracula films after that. And that's the series of
them.
Yeah, and some of them got a little bit...
Did you do The Wicker Man after that?
The Wicker Man was done in 73. So I think he did The Satanic Rites of Dracula either around that time or after. I think they both came out around that time.
Okay.
So, yeah, because that was the early 70s.
That was definitely...
which is not a Hammer movie, but it's a fantastic film that we could definitely talk about. It's one of my favorite horror films.
It is a very good
movie. And I love the new, you know, final cut that we got on Blu-ray here. And... you know, even though all the footage doesn't always look that great, it's a fantastic film.
Oh yeah, very moody, very.
Isn't it? I mean, I've got the soundtrack, everything. Yeah. I love the music. That's what got me about it the first time I saw it.
Cool.
There used to be. Remember the video store that we used to go to? Beware.
Oh
video?
God! Yeah.
I was just in that neighborhood today, and folks, there used to be a video store around our neighborhood here in Northeast Ohio. Called Beware Video, and
they had all those like exploitation films,
horror movies. I mean, that's what they did. They rented out, you know, this was
things
video
you
tapes.
Just would not find anywhere.
Right, monster movies, exploitation films, kung fu movie. I mean, that kind of stuff.
And home movies.
Home
that
movies
people
that people
actually made themselves.
Remember that zombie movie they made that we rented?
Speaking of, we made one back. Years ago. I'm not sure I'll ever post that. We'll have to see.
Yeah, we did our little. We did our Night of the Living Dead extra scenes.
Yes.
Deleted scenes from Night of the Living
Dead. It
wasn't
too bad, but it was just goofing off, but it was good.
And the first two movies that I rented from that place were Suspiria and The Wicker Man.
Right,
so two fantastic movies that I got introduced to thanks to Beware Video. It's like I got a mom and pop store. And those two people that worked there, they knew everything about every movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you rented a movie, they always knew what was going on about it.
And they had
movie.
The little baby dolls in the back that an artist would make up.
Yep.
Like, turn it blue and with, like, spikes all over. I mean, really bloody. Really, really cool artwork. I'm not sure who did that, but it was really cool. The store was cool.
Yeah, it was just a great shop. Cool place to go rent videos. It wasn't even remotely... close to my neighborhood, but I would drive out there.
Yeah.
You know, you could get something there that you couldn't get anywhere else. And it was, you know, cool to be able to try a movie out. You know, that was before you could illegally download things. That was before DVD. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
I do miss that place. It exposed me to a lot of movies. I mean, it's great when you go to a video store and they have a Vincent Price section.
Oh, so, yeah. You can still find places like that, but they're all online and stuff mm-hmm. like that. You really have to research, but they're out there still, I think.
Right. So then we jump ahead a couple years to The Brides of Dracula, which features Peter Cushing as Dr. Van Helsing again, but no Christopher Lee this time. This time it deals with, I guess we kind of learn that there's a cult of the undead. Now, well, let me just ask you a question. Did you like one movie better than the other, since you hadn't seen either of these before?
I actually like Brides of Dracula better than Horror of Dracula.
You know what? I would probably agree with you. I really am a big fan of this movie.
Yeah, this was good. I mean, mm-hmm. a little bit more dialogue, a little bit more interaction and stuff, so...
And it's a wholly original story, mm-hmm. original idea.
Yeah, a little different.
Know, we've all heard the Bram Stoker's Dracula. It's been done, you know, a million times, right. different ways.
Not that that took away anything from that, the Horror of Dracula. It's just, you know... This was... I like Brides of Dracula just a little bit better.
Right.
So, yeah.
I would agree. I really... Yeah. The actors in it, I thought, were fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So this film starts off with a...
little dirtier, too. I don't think they dusted as much.
Gritty. Gritty. The inn is a little bit gritty.
Maybe somebody said, hey, we gotta dirty this up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
Or the stuff in the sets, maybe they just got a little bit more run down and older. They were used. So, anyways, go ahead.
Well, this man's trying to keep a neat inn.
Polished. Sanded to a shine.
So the film starts off with this really beautiful French girl.
The sets are always cold because they're always blowing that
breath.
They probably did keep it cold.
This is outside. Well, maybe it's
right.
not outside.
Right.
The part that we're talking about here.
Anyways, I'm going off on my tangents. Go on.
And please do. Please do. So Brides of Dracula takes place, not necessarily takes place, but... you know, following the continuity, Dracula is dead. It even states that at the beginning of the film, Dracula is dead. the film came out, I think, like 2 years after.
Yeah.
It was the first sequel. And it starts off with this pretty French girl going to be a teacher at some girl's finishing school. And I think the carriage has to get stopped in the middle of the road because of logs in the way. Dragged there on purpose by this shady-looking guy who hops onto the back of the carriage.
He didn't do that. There's a log in the middle of the road.
They stop at the inn in town, and they're supposed to carry on a little bit. Like, they're just there for, like, a little breather.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the shady guy who jumped onto the back of the carriage exchange some words and a pocket full of coins with the driver of the carriage. We start putting two and two together. The carriage guy takes off, leaving her and her, you know, she doesn't even leave her luggage, and she's left at the inn.
Poor girl.
The people who work at the inn, they know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, they saw that guy. They saw that shady-looking guy. They know exactly what's going on. They are desperately trying to find her a place to stay before who we're going to find out arrives at the inn, and who arrives with this prim and proper old lady, and you wonder why a nice lady like this would come into...
Yeah. A nice lady like this.
Yeah, a nice dressed, obviously rich lady would come into an inn like this.
Yeah.
She comes in there, asks for a glass of wine, takes like one sip. But she's there for a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, she's there because...
Devious old lady.
Right. She's there to take this girl to her castle. But the girl goes. I mean, the lady's nice. She, you know, introduces herself and
mm-hmm.
compliments the lady on being, you know, having some breeding and some taste and invites her to dinner to her castle.
Yeah, it was nice of her. I mean, she needed to eat, you know.
Well, we get to...
Yeah, I do love the scenes, though. I do have to admit that.
There's a lot of detail.
Oh, there's tons of stuff in every scene.
I mean, the scene where she's shown to her room to freshen up. I mean, there's just tons of nicely detailed artwork.
Ornate, yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly. That's the word for it. Mm-hmm. Very ornate.
Yeah.
So she's supposed to go freshen up for dinner with the, I think, the Countess Meister, if I remember the name correctly.
Mm.
And when she goes out on the balcony and sees a young man down kind of like below on another balcony.
She's like,
she had been told that this lady lives there alone. And now, you know, with like the maid.
Right. And what's this guy doing down there?
So, you know, she's kind of caught by the maid looking down there. But she goes to dinner with And the old lady doesn't even eat. She just drinks the entire the entire movie. She's always got a glass of wine.
How curious. Yeah.
And that's where she's told about her son. That she doesn't get into details, just that he is ill. We're led to believe that he's like mentally ill, or you know, something going on in his head.
Yeah.
Needs a checkup from the neck up. And you know, she mentions that you know most of the townsfolk think he's dead, and she just promotes that. We later find out that he is a member of the Cult of the Undead, a follower of Dracula. Who has been turned into a vampire, and his mother's been sheltering him, bringing him girls to feed on.
That's why a great mother.
Yeah, that's why she. I mean, but that's a you know that's a hardcore idea for this time. You know that you know she loves and hates him at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Hates him for what he's done to her and her lifestyle and the family. And
a little bit of psycho
dragging her down into this, you know, darkness with him in a way. And but at the same time, he's still her child, and you know, she doesn't want him to hurt anybody, she doesn't want him out there, you know, just
right. So she's taking care of him,
right? Quietly
providing him with what he needs
and being discreet. You know, she's not using town girls, you know, someone just happens to come in, and you know, no one's gonna miss her, you know, no one's gonna, you know, be looking for her. But she sees this guy, and she's really, you know, drawn to find out something a little bit more about him.
Yeah, she's mesmerized. She's lonely.
Mm-hmm. So when she finally does figure out how to get into where he's at, you know, he's all charming and he seems perfectly fine. You know, what's wrong with this guy?
He's very cavalier.
Right. I mean, he's dressed really nicely. I mean,
her hormones are in overdrive. I mean, so. I mean, you know.
Well, she's definitely. I mean, well, but that's what vampires can do. They can, you know, they give you that look.
Oh yeah,
and you, and, you know, fall right for him. And she notices that he's chained up by the leg. Just, and
why are you chained up?
Oh, and he talks her into going to get the key out of his mother's drawer, and she goes in there and gets the key, sets him loose.
Good thing she was able to do it, you know. But that's
wouldn't have been a movie without it. She sets him loose. Then the mother finds out what's going on. The maid finds out what's going on, and
she was a very attractive woman.
Who's that? The girl, the young French girl.
Yeah. I forget her name.
But that's that's just a trademark of Hammer, and I gotta admit that's certainly a draw to it as well. But there's a lot of pretty girls in these films. But there's I love the gothic nature of the sets, the mist.
Well, of course.
Like I said, it's just they seem more elegant to me than some of the older monster movies. But you know, I love them all.
Yeah.
But these were just, I don't know. They had a style of their own. And I really do like that. I like the pacing of it. I like the slow burn build.
People understand that the older they get, they will appreciate every era of filmmaking.
Yeah.
Maybe when you're younger, you really don't appreciate it or even understand.
Mm-hmm.
But the older you get, you know.
Well, there's definitely films that I didn't really care for when I was younger that I love now. I mean, I couldn't have appreciated a lot of Kubrick films when I was younger than what I, you know, appreciate now.
Exactly.
You know, I don't see today's kids watching 2001 and being in awe.
No.
You know, to me, it's... But,
awesome film.
Yeah, you know, well, that... Yeah. It's kind of like my statement of life there.
Yeah.
So back to Brides of Dracula, she's set the son free, who will be Baron Meister.
Baron Meister, a great name!
Yes,
I love that.
And he's set loose. She escapes from the castle, but before she does, she's informed by the maid that. The Countess is dead, and after she's escaped, we find out that he's fed on her. Her own son has fed on her, and she will return as a vampire later in the film.
Was there as much red blood in this one, too, as the first one?
No, I think there was more blood in Horror of Dracula than in this film.
Yeah.
There are a few cool graphic scenes in this one that deal with Peter Cushing later on. So, The young girl escapes, and in the meantime, Peter Cushing has come to town. Just he's actually just kind of passing through and happens to stumble in on a funeral. A young girl's already been bitten by the Baron, and he recognizes right away, you know, the telltale signs of vampirism.
Is he vampirism. The same innkeeper as the first one? They all look the same, don't they?
Well, it's just now you got me thinking, and I don't
one guy plays the innkeeper in all the movies in the 60s. So
anyway, say no. But
okay,
now I'm gonna have to go back at home and pop the DVD in and
check. Because I just remember the mutton chops. So anyway,
you're an innkeeper. You have to have mutton chops.
Yeah, I guess you do.
But he sees the.
It's very odd how the funerals go. You know, it's like the inn.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the funeral is being held
six
at the inn.
Six people sitting there. You know, oh, the stranger's coming again.
Well, she can't be laid to rest in consecrated ground,
right?
Because the townspeople know what's happened to her.
Yeah.
Van Helsing comes in. He sees and he understands. The young girl's already made her way back to the inn, kind of divulge what's happened there. And this is where Peter Cushing, you know, offers to escort her to where she's supposed to be going. And en route there, he fills her in on the cult of the undead and what's been going on there. Mm-hmm. And the details on that, cause she's already experienced this. He just tries to find out if she knows anything. She actually didn't see any vampiric activity, but he's trying to question her to find out something about this family here.
Yeah. You would think Van Helsing would hit on some of these women.
He's classy. Van Helsing's classy.
I know, and it's all about the science.
I did forget one other Dracula film with Van Helsing. The very last one, which has Peter Cushing, here in the States we know it as Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires, which is a mix of kung fu and a vampire movie, where Van Helsing's actually teaching at university in...
That's a Hammer?
Yeah, a mixture of Hammer and a Shaw Brothers.
Okay.
And...
Because you told me to watch that one. That's a good one, right? Yeah. Okay.
It's
now
unique.
I think, yeah, it's to each their own.
There's not a film like it. Let me just put it to you that way.
Okay. That's what I remember.
I mean, it's you know, chop sake and vampires and Dracula. It's not Christopher Lee playing Dracula, but it's Dracula.
Yeah.
And he's teaching at university and overseas in Asia, and they conscript him to help, you know, fight their vampire.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. I can't believe I just forgot to mention it. Slipped my mind for a moment. So that was actually the last one in the series in the 70s.
Yeah.
So he gets Dr. Van Helsing gets the young lady to the school where she's supposed to be teaching. That's kind of like a little funny scene because she's being escorted by a gentleman in the girls' school, and the gentleman who runs it, mm-hmm. you know, he's going off on her because she's been late. And as soon as he whips out his card and he sees where he's, you know, all his doctorates and where he went to school, he's totally kissing his butt after that. And, you know, he can come anytime he wants.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Van Helsing realizes he's going to have some business to take care of back in the town where the Baron is loose. He has a conversation with the priest. You know, they understand each other. But these people don't really know how to destroy the vampire. They don't know what to do. So, luckily, Van Helsing's there and knows what to do. Priest gives him a little holy water, which comes in handy later on.
Yeah. Peter Cushing just plays probably the perfect, whether you like the film or not, he plays the perfect Van Helsing. I mean, just very, very well done. I mean, I guess that's just to say how good of an actor he is.
Agree. Most people our age would probably just know him from Star Wars, and they probably wouldn't even know him by name.
Right.
But I grew up watching this guy all the
time. He was one of the best mm-hmm. back then.
And really I will watch any movie with him. Mm-hmm. I will at least give a shake. Now, there is one part when he's going to the castle,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if you notice this here, there's two gargoyle-like statues outside,
right.
And I am pretty sure that is the same building that they used in the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Because
when you go see the Rocky Horror Picture Show, there's always a thing, you know, statue of a Scooby-Doo on acid that you shout out. And it's the same kind of gargoyle statue.
Really?
And I don't know if the whole house that they used for it, I don't know if that was an actual house or studio. But the exteriors of the house, I believe, were real buildings.
I'm going to have to check that out. Watch your
Rocky
next
Horror
time.
Picture Show. You know, not a movie I watch all the time. I used to see it, back in high school. We used to go to see it at the
theater. Actually when we first
met. We first met going to see Rocky Horror Picture Show.
When I first met my wife.
That's right.
How many years ago was that? 23
it was about
or 20? 24 or something like that?
It was definitely at least 20 years ago.
But yeah, we...
That's right. That's
double
right.
Double date at the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
The Cedar Lee Theater. That's what I forgot about that. Well, check. If you have that movie, check it, because I'm pretty sure, compare the two, I'm pretty sure it's what it is.
Yeah.
So, Van Helsing, he's got his kit, he's got his cross, and he heads up to the castle, finds the, sort of the little chamber that leads up to where the Baron was staying up there, where he was chained up, and comes into contact with the mother now, who is now a vampire. But not a monster. She's completely horrified by what she is. Mm-hmm. She just absolutely wants to die. And
poor lady.
Yeah, it is. You know, I mean, it's actually kind of a sad, tender scene there, because he, mm-hmm. you know, she just asks for release, and it happens off screen, but he gives that to her.
Yeah.
And he continues his pursuit for the Baron.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit of a chase to try to find out where he's hiding. But in the meantime, he's already gone to the school where this, young French girl's teaching, and he's already trying to woo her.
Is he sending her love notes and stuff?
Well, he shows up there, and,
I wasn't sure.
He shows up there. I don't know. I don't see any love notes. But
he kind of looks like Liberace a little bit.
A blonde. Okay, folks, yes, like a blonde Liberace. Yes.
Oh,
okay. I'll go with that.
Anyway.
So she doesn't know he's a vampire. Van Helsing kind of let her in on the cult of the dead, of the undead, but he did not expressly say that this family is vampires.
Yeah.
So, he's wooing her, trying to make, because that's what they always want to do. They want to make their brood, their brides.
Oh, of course.
He ends up going after one of the other teachers. Gets her going, and
gets her going
into the world of vampires.
Yeah, he's very suave and sophisticated. Yeah,
he's one suave guy. And then we start getting into some of the comic relief after those scenes when this other doctor shows. He just happens to be at the end.
And you know what? That guy has been in a lot of. I remember him from a lot of the old 40s movies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know his name offhand.
He's got a real familiar face.
Oh yeah, I think he's one of those actors. He was in a lot of those old 40s movies,
mm-hmm.
and shows up here. So yeah, and you gotta love his coat.
His plaid tweed.
Yeah, he's
kind
got a huge, thick plaid, like a carpet. He's wearing a carpet.
He's trying to cure his own cold. Putting all kinds of chemicals and herbs and stuff into a big boiling vat, and. Just putting the top. He's having a lady push his head down in it, and he's.
I must
breathe
in this. Steam.
Even if I resist, don't let me up. And she lets him up when he resists, and he's all he's ticked off. That doctor is actually, I believe, on his way to the girls' school because of the other teacher, having those same telltale symptoms,
mm-hmm.
and when Van Helsing hears that, what's going on with this girl at the school, he fears that it's the young French girl that we have met in the beginning, so he offers to go with him, not telling him what's going on.
And Van Helsing does sport a very nice fur.
Oh, don't you love it?
Too.
Don't you love it?
Yes, very much so.
Well, that's the thing. The costumes were always really ornate.
Oh, I know.
And
very that's
realistic.
The way it was back then, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's stylish. So he and the doctor, they go there, they investigate the girl, the doctor, he's completely stumped, he doesn't know what it is, and as soon as Van Helsing mentions the idea of vampirism, he's, no.
you must be crazy.
The girl ends up, dying, they put her into the coffin, and, he instructs it to be locked. and, you know, the young French girl who we've come to know, you know, he's trying to protect her from this. And I love the scene where, like, when she's going to escape from the coffin, the locks just drop off.
Oh,
you remember
yeah.
that? They
oh,
just
yeah.
they just fall off.
Right.
And she escapes.
Scene. Yeah.
And through a course of events, we realize that the vampire and, mm-hmm. and now his one bride, they're holed up at the old mill.
Right.
And so Van Helsing goes in pursuit of the vampire there. And this has got to be...
Very stealthily. Very
yeah, well, you
quietly.
Know, yeah.
And you know what? Cobwebs do show up.
Yeah, okay. The mill is filthy, folks.
There. Ah. Hammer said, wait a second. I think somebody came upon this fact and said, we must dirty this up.
You know.
There is dust. There is dirt. There is hay. It's filthy. I love it.
Damn.
Go ahead.
you know, Van Helsing realizes the coffins are all empty.
Yeah, you know, where are they?
He has to always put the cross in there so they can't go back to that. And
I love the scene of the
oh the old maid
the women's well the women's face is the vampire's
right.
face
because he's got the teacher and he's got that young girl that mm-hmm. was bitten before because she you know when he showed back up the funeral in the inn he's
yeah.
got two women but also we find out that the maid from his house
mm-hmm.
has just gone completely bonkers and has been helping him too
yeah
and.
Oh,
then you know the vampire or the Baron shows up, and I think that this again the climax is probably my favorite part.
Yeah.
You know he's getting, you know he's not a superhuman vampire. They have themselves a little fist fight of sorts,
swinging around the chain.
Yeah, swinging from a rope, which is yeah. not Peter Cushing doing that. But you know the vampire actually does you know bite Peter Cushing, gets him.
It's a Batman and, fight. Bam! Pow!
No, better than that. Better than that. And
no, it is a great scene.
But he bites him, and I love how Van Helsing cures himself of it. Mm. You know, he stokes the fire. And in the meantime, while all this is going down, the women are just back there just watching.
Yeah, giggling a little
yeah.
bit. Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's this scene that... I forget which movie. It was like The Matrix Reloaded or whatever. There's a scene where the guys are watching this movie in the background.
Oh, okay.
When they go see, I can't remember what character they were going to see, but there were a couple of the guys, and they're watching this film.
Yeah.
So Van Helsing's been bit, obviously, you know, in trouble.
And he cures himself.
By stoking the flames, and he basically just burns it out and then takes the holy water, which that's probably like the goriest part of the film. You know,
yeah.
he just, you know, it's all burnt and blistered and he pours the holy water on it and then it just, everything just disappears and he's cured.
Interesting that would have cured it. But,
well, you know, if people yeah. just knew that that's how you take care of it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we end up getting to the fight at the mill. The vampire eventually just sets it all on fire, and then what he does with the windmill, I think, is just fantastic. You know, he kills him with the windmill by jumping on it and ends up turning it into a crucifix, a giant crucifix.
Yeah, that was an awesome scene,
and that's probably one of my favorites. You know, he's just
yeah.
the giant shadow of the crucifix, and that's mm-hmm. what you know. It just makes me really, really dig this movie.
Yep.
Just cool stuff. So
yeah.
we've kind of talked about two of the Hammer Dracula films. I'm definitely a huge fan of these movies. Dino's, you know, I'll have to try to convert them. I think you can appreciate them.
Brides of Dracula was definitely, I mean, and I'm not putting down Horror of Dracula because it was a good movie in itself, but Brides of Dracula, I preferred much
yeah.
more than that first one. So.
And you know, they like you said, they're a different style.
Right.
I saw them at an impressionable age, and I think that's why they've just stuck with me.
Exactly.
You know, I even you know bought them on videotape when I had money to do so, and things like that. I just
yep.
always love. I mean, I always love the Universal monsters
and
that mythology that they created with their series.
Mm-hmm.
But I just I don't know that Technicolor, the effects and. You know, the actors. And I am sure at some point you know, being a big Star Wars fan when I was probably 4 years old or whatever when I first saw the movie, seeing Peter Cushing in another movie, you know, it just kind of put, you know, hey, this actor was in Star Wars and now he's in this movie, and maybe that got me on my road to that. But
what was your favorite Hammer horror movie?
My favorite, I probably prefer the Frankenstein cycle. I love all the movies in the Frankenstein cycle. Curse of Frankenstein, Revenge of Frankenstein.
Well, those are probably the ones I'll watch next.
Yeah, they're fantastic. And then I also love, I pretty much have the ones, there's top tier, you know. I would also say like the Reptile, the Gorgon. A lot of people really like Dr. Jekyll and Sister Hyde. The Karnstein trilogy I enjoy. Even it's gotten a little bit more popular. I think Captain Kronos, the Vampire Hunter.
Okay,
that's kind of a cool one. If you'd like to seek that one out, they were looking at turning that into a TV show at one point.
Yeah,
I think. But
that's that's a comic book too, right?
I don't know if it, or maybe they did comic books of it, but I think it was an original character then.
Okay.
But I probably, out of all of them, I probably prefer the Frankenstein films. As opposed to any others. They did their own werewolf movie, Curse of the Werewolf, with Oliver Reed. That's a good one. I own a lot of them.
Movies,
yes. But they did all kinds of films. They did science fiction films. They did dinosaur movies when dinosaurs ruled the Earth, a million years B.C. They did, Rasputin the Mad Monk, all about that Russian guy. Christopher Lee played him.
Yeah.
They did science fiction films like The Lost Continent and Four-Sided Triangle. And, you know, they did a little bit of everything. And it's got that style. If you like that style, that pace, then this is for you.
Cool.
But I don't think we've decided what we'll do next week, so we'll just have to post that. Is there anything new on our
website?
Yeah,
we'll figure it out. I mean, hey, I love that we've got a lot of listeners now from Germany, Netherlands, Canada, U.S. So
fantastic!
All due
Welcome.
To iTunes, and we're on. So make sure you're subscribed on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. We're up there now.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you could like the Facebook page. Just look up Little Monsters Movie Podcast, and it's up there. And Twitter, we're on Twitter. Just search Little Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
It'll show up. And,
I don't tweet,
But that's I just tweeted a twit the other day. Anyways,
you handle the tech side of it. I just talk movies. But I don't
which
know.
Which is fine. That's awesome.
Yeah, folks, I just signed up to Facebook just to be on the show. And I go on there and it's like, I don't know what to do. So I look.
Oh,
I see your guys' comments. And thank you.
Well, what do you think? Any ideas? You want to do the Fearless Vampire Killer? You want to think about it? Do something older, maybe?
I say,
black and white, maybe? Or
I'm going to let you pick. Because you kind of let me pick these first couple that we've done.
Okay.
I know Island of Lost Souls was my choice, and in these, you know,
oh,
I was a big fan of. So
great.
I think it's going to be Dino's choice next week. I'm not sure what we're going to decide on, but
yeah, I'll post it. It'll be a good one.
And
we'll
if it's bad, it's his fault.
Nah, it won't be bad. It'll be good.
Yeah,
only
pick something
best.
That I haven't seen, maybe.
Sounds
that,
good.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, sounds good. Okay.
All right, folks.
We'll end this one, and that's the end of episode 4, and we will see you later.
We out.